Hi, this is Georgie.
Hey guys, this is Cole Leicher.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Everybody, this is the Unused Substitutes on Radio St. Pete, your weekly sermon of containing the green and gold gospel, off-season version at this point in time. This is, God, I almost said this is Dan. What is going on?
No, I don't know. That's me. I'm Dan.
All right, you're Dan. I'm Matt. Hopefully by the end of the show, we're still the same. Who knows? We could pull some Freaky Friday stuff going on here. But this is us. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 o'clock. We have no losses to lament or wins to celebrate. And we don't even have a whole lot of news to share. But we've got some other stuff we're going to talk about. How you been, Dan?
All right. I haven't really done much with my life besides work.
And read Star Wars.
Yeah, man, I'm on like book 5 in like a week. that's where my life's at.
That's a lot, man. I'm jealous, like, cause I'm at the point now, and it's, you know, it's like we're getting close to Thanksgiving break. Like, we had progress reports at work that I had to get done. I had my like yearly evaluation where they watch me for 45 minutes and decide if I'm actually a good at my job. And somehow that's a fair and qualitative analysis. Who knows? So I don't get to like catch up on the news at all, really. Like, I don't even get to do it at lunch right now anymore. It's usually when I get home, and I'm not getting home till like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock some of these days. So I'm still catching up on everything that happened today. Like, I'm just reading the Preki to Cal United, the U.S. soccer and NASL are going to settle, and Cincinnati had a potentially settle. So all of you guys who went out and bought got some nice NASL capes, hope you kept your receipts, because maybe they're not doing what you thought they were going to do.
But here's the thing. So San Francisco folded, right?
That was out there today, and the ridiculous statement by Ricardo Club Killer Jaramel.
Yeah, so that happened, though, and then North Carolina, whatever the heck their NCFC, whatever their BS is now, they're more than likely going to USL. So that puts them at 6 teams.
Right. Well, what, I mean, Cal United supposed to start playing next year, or is it 2019?
I don't know. But so you have 7 teams, so a team's gonna have a bye week every week when you only have 7 teams? So even like, yeah, play, like, I hope for the fact that, like, you know, I don't want them to die, but at the same time, like, this isn't sustainable.
Yeah, that's who knows? They've got it all sorted out. It's the whole world's just out to get them. Nothing to do with any of their own missteps at all. There was something else I saw. I kind of mentioned it, but the whole Preki thing, supposedly he's going out to Cal United. So, like, remember last year, like, all the St. Louis fans were so hyped up over getting Preki, and the rest of us were just happy that someone figured out where he was and he was safe and everything. Yeah. And a year later, they're just as excited to be rid of him. if this story turns out to be true. And honestly, both situations are understandable. Like, considering what he had done at Sacramento, it seemed like a pretty good hire. And then the way last year turned out for St. Louis, I wouldn't blame them for being excited about a possible change.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes and what happens there. I mean, if they are in NASL, I'm not really going to be paying attention anyway.
Meanwhile, Rochester's coach up and left for Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's coach didn't meet D2 standards, and USL decided to be proactive about encouraging clubs to continue to meet D2 standards, even if others aren't. So now Rochester doesn't have a coach, and their news conference today, their press conference, they might not be around after the end of the month, really, because they put they said by November 30th, they need to have, the graphic I just saw was like 600,000 in tickets and suite sales, another 540,000 from a local government bed tax revenue, which they've received zero so far. And I think that's the one that might be the difficult one. And then like another 160,000, something like that. From like sponsorships, local corporate sponsorships, like they sound like they might be in imminent danger.
I mean, that's been coming for a while, though. Like, the writing's been on the wall in Rochester, unfortunately.
Can we use this to try and solve some other issues? Like, could we send Rochester to NASL for Indy?
I mean, that solves our issue. It doesn't really solve NASL's issue.
I mean, at least you can kind of fit in where they with everyone else who's kind of in a similar boat. Could we send Rochester to Austin?
Yeah, that would be the right answer, right? Save the crew, which that mess is getting even more dirty tonight.
Yeah, like we actually had a guest from Columbus lined up to come on tonight and kind of talk about it, and then this new info coming out about the Columbus mayor and someone else meeting with Douches Precourt and Garber. And now that's just another giant mess. So we're going to kind of push that back and let's see what develops from that. We'll probably get to that after Thanksgiving sometime. That continues to be a mess. But honestly, if there's such giant support for local soccer in Austin, let the Rochester folks go there. Although the people that own Rochester were local business people to begin with. So I don't know if they're interested in relocating, but it'll be a shame if Rochester doesn't work out, because, I mean, that's kind of a historic name as far as lower division soccer in the U.S. They had MLS aspirations at one point. They've got a nice-looking stadium that they have not been able to fill. It'd be a good place for some support to catch on, but I don't know if it's going to happen in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it does. Again, you don't want to see a club, especially a kind of storied one such as Rochester, go under. But American soccer is brutal.
Yeah, the Delta's officially folded today. Did you see that garbage statement from Jeremel?
No, luckily, because I absolutely think he's a piece of trash after what he did in Fort Lauderdale.
What an amazing 3 years it's been, and what an incredible experience from the day he first had the idea of bringing soccer to San Francisco and pitched it to all these investors. And, he's just looking forward to the next step on his journey. Well, he went to Fort Lauderdale, left there, and Fort Lauderdale's dead. He started up San Francisco, won a title, and now doesn't exist anymore. Like, everything this guy touches disappears. So,
yep.
Can we send him to Orlando?
No, I hate Orlando and I hate their fans, but as long as they're a healthy club, that's a good thing for Florida and soccer, or soccer in Florida. And I don't want them to quote unquote liquidate. But I just never want them to win anything.
I mean, he kind of fit in with the Brazilian ownership, and he's the big money, big idea Brazilianaire. We can have beer drones in Orlando.
That would be okay, because I you know that video of like the Renaissance Fair where the guy throws like a spear or a javelin through a drone. That's what I feel like a drone carrying beer would be like over the wall. Like just savages attacking flying objects.
I've not seen the one. I've seen the one from, I think it's like Argentina or Peru, where a guy chucks a roll of toilet paper at one that's doing like low-level crowd shots or something and just knocks the drone right out of the air. Like the toilet paper gets caught up in the rotors and it just crashes into the crowd.
That would be, I mean, that would also probably happen over there because, you know, they probably don't use toilet paper for the proper reasons.
It was a great shot. You could do, where was it that had the paper airplane that hit the goalie? Was that England?
Yeah, I think so.
Someone launched it from like the third tier of a stadium and it manages to float down and nails a guy like right in the butt. Maybe you could have someone throw an airplane at the drone. That'd be that's like an analogy for all kinds of analog versus digital technology, a paper airplane taken out a drone. I'm all in favor of that. So what else has been going on? Anything before?
Let's see. What happened? I don't know. Like I said, I've been trying to tune out as much as possible because it is absolutely crazy. I mean, congrats. Okay, I think we're forgetting a big thing. Congrats to Louisville and their fans for winning the USL trophy thing, the championship.
Yeah, despite the field, which apparently some people did not think was in good condition.
I mean, to be fair, that's not exactly a hot take or anything controversial. No. Everybody and their mother will say that.
I mean, the mic was hotter than the take, but yeah, that was that's always bad. That's always a bad thing.
I agree with her. She was 100% right.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely. Congrats to them. I went back. I didn't get a chance to watch the game live, but I saw the replay of the goal. It was a nice header. So congrats to them.
I mean, it's a shame he couldn't be voted man of the match since they put their poll out within like the 20 minutes of the game ending or something stupid.
It's like the 75th, 76th minute, and they put a poll out for who's man of the match in a 0-0 game that could, in theory, go on like another 45 minutes plus penalties.
Yeah. I mean, they did it, what, in the playoff opener, we called them out on it, and then like, after he scored, I retweeted it with, you know, this is now awkward. Like, that's just ridiculous.
I felt bad because I kept kind of picking on their Twitter account, but they just kept, like, lobbing softballs out there. Like, they had two guys, two tweets in a row listed as their second substitute, or no, their first substitute. It's like, you can't cheat like that. I mean, we see what you're doing. And then the whole man of the match thing, that was just silly. But no, cool for them, cool for their fans. I mean, this is what, their third year getting to the conference final, and they finally got past it and won the championship. And I'm glad for them for two reasons. Number one, they all seem like pretty good guys. We had one of their guys on from their podcast earlier this year. Seemed like a pretty good guy. We know some people who went up for the Rowdies away game up there and hung out with their fans, and they were all pretty cool. And also, they're not a two team. And I'm going to be just, you know, kind of biased and selfish, whatever you want to call it, and then just say good, because I think this needs to be in the hands of independent clubs, and they need to take it seriously and win this. And I think, I don't know, it makes it more legitimate, in my opinion.
I don't think I would have had a problem with other two teams winning it. Like, I didn't have a problem with the Red Bulls 2 winning it last year. I don't think, because, I mean, granted, I didn't pay too much attention. But right. If Swope Park would have won, they had people that played for Sporting Kansas City in the Open Cup run and through the year. I feel like that's kind of BS. But if it was, like, just a developmental two team, like I feel like Toronto and New York do, I feel like then that's a little bit more okay. But yeah, obviously you want one of the independents to win, but I just feel like the Swope Park got some karma for bringing what, like 7 players from the first team down.
Yeah, it's something like that. And then they kept replying to all the tweets, and I'll give them least credit for that, for responding to it. That these 7 guys had played, I think it was like 15 or 18 games, something for Swope Park during the course of the year, but. To me, that's not the same. Like, maybe they need to look at something next year where you set a playoff roster going into the playoffs, and that's it. That's who you go with. and you go that way. I don't know. Maybe that's
or just get rid of the two teams, so this isn't an issue.
Well, there's that too, and I don't have a problem with that. There was something else I was thinking of, and I can't think of it right now. This is what happens when you get old. Get excited. You're looking towards this in the future.
I'll never get old. I'm going to die young.
All right. So should we just hop into it?
I mean, we still got 45 minutes. How long do you think this is going to take?
I don't know. Oh,
screw it. Let's go.
Well, I had heard this is a possible rumor, but now I just see someone else reporting on it. It looks like, and this is NWSL news. This is how you know we're reaching. Not that NWSL is not important, but we're certainly not overly qualified to talk about it. But apparently, the Kansas City NWSL team is moving to Utah, and it's going to be a Real Salt Lake women's team.
Nothing good is in Utah. Don't go to Utah.
Hey, we have at least one listener in Utah. I can tell from the stats on our hosting.
Okay, so there's one tiny good thing in Utah. The rest of Utah is awful.
Well, Luke Mulholland's in Utah.
He's not from Utah.
But he's in Utah. What if Luke is the one listener in Utah?
Well, then I'd feel better. Because Utah just, I don't know. I have ill will towards. I have no idea why, but I have a lot of pent up ill will towards Utah.
All right, on list of things you don't like, let's put these in order: Utah, poutine, Roy Moore.
Roy Moore is number one. Then Utah, then poutine.
And I only threw Roy Moore in there because I just saw come across two more allegations. being brought against him.
Okay, we don't need to talk about that here. Let's keep this a happy. Let's keep this a safe space for our snowflake butts.
All right. Well, I don't know if the next part is gonna meet up with it. So I don't even really know how to set this up or talk about it. Everyone who's listening, I'm sure, knows what we're about to talk about because we talked about talking about it.
We've been kicking this around for a while. I mean, yeah. I guess you can say, as far as we're concerned, at least myself, I should say, there was a huge. It started last year. I think I was a season ticket holder. Well, I think only for about a year.
Right.
At that point, I think my first year. I had a full season. No, it had to be my second year because I did one, and then I bought the two for sets for one for me and one for Daisha, and then Daisha barely even went. Okay, so it was a half season, it was the full season, and then last year I had one set for as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just about two and a half seasons of being a season ticket holder. Last season I did not get, or this past off season, I did not get a phone call for this year at all. I mentioned it several times on here,
right.
I tweeted about it. I think at one point I got an email that was like, hey, I'm your season ticket rep, and I've tried to reach you, but like the number we have doesn't work. And I was like, I haven't changed my cell number in forever, and you guys call me constantly. Like, you guys called me constantly. So like, that's BS. Like, yeah, I know
there BS. there are a number of people above whoever that person's pay grade is that have your number inside Al Lang Stadium. That's,
yeah, like, you know, and you have my email, like, you also need your email address, you know what I mean? Like, they have all that, and I get constant emails about ticket deals and whatnot, so I know you have at least my email address. You should have reached out before. That was like the first kind of sign that things were going wrong. And then, you know, we've seen rumblings here there via Facebook and Twitter about things going on, so we decided to pull the Rowdies crowd, like, you know, and people who listen and who are mostly, I would assume, are mostly season ticket holders, and to see how we can help maybe start a conversation to add perks and make the situation better. So we've asked for people's opinions, and it's I think there's some common threads in there,
and we got some opinions. I'll say it's not just online, but I mean, we hear it from people at the stadium, in, you know, tailgating, before and after games. Like, it's a pretty big issue with a big chunk of the fans.
I mean, yeah, and I think one of the major things is that one of the common threads is there's no perks, right? Like, from before we even get to the whole selling and whatever, there's no perks. Like, why should I buy season tickets? Oh, you support the club, you love the club. Yeah, but if I don't, I can get these other deals that are cheaper,
right,
than buying season tickets.
And that's the thing. Like, I'm not sitting here begging for, like, goodies to buy the tickets, but they do come along so many times during the year with, like, these three packs and four packs and whatever else. And I get why they're trying to, you know, they're trying to boost sales for certain games that aren't historically as attractive as others. But when the ticket deals you're off, when you make it cheaper for someone to walk up and buy tickets every game than to buy season tickets, then what's the incentive to buy the season tickets? And, you know, there used to be like some kind of little random gift. Like, 1 year it was like a license plate bracket, which I didn't put on my car, but I've got it, you know, kind of sitting in the house, hanging up on the wall or something. There was a water bottle 1 year. Last couple years it's been like a lanyard to wear your ticket around on. Like,
I mean, okay, don't get me wrong. The Hard Rock stuff is cool.
Yes.
That it's a good idea. But, like we briefly touched on this before, I live in Pasco County. It is so far out of my way to use a free brunch over at the Hard Rock. Well, I'm sure the food is good when we had this, but it's so far out of my way. Like, I'm literally not going to use it.
Yeah. I mean, down here in Sarasota, like it, and I'm not the kind of person that goes up to, the casino and gambles on a regular basis. I'm a public school teacher. That's my gamble right there, is taking that job with the pay that I get. I don't go out and blow it in casinos. I think last time that I went to Hard Rock, I counted myself as making $20 because I didn't use all the cash I took out on the slot machines. I saved the last $20 and did that. But yeah, it's a separate trip to go up there to use the food thing. Like, I use Now, the first year, it was a certain credit for the buffet place. This year, I'll give them credit, they expanded it. It was $100 to use at any restaurant. And they've got, you know, like Council Oak is up there.
Yeah, that's a couple all different cool. places, but again, I mean,
which is cool. But yeah, if you're not a person who 45 goes 45
minutes
there,
out of my way.
Yeah. I ended up using it just because I had it to use. And we took my mother-in-law up there and we all went out to eat for one night. And she'd never been up there before. So we had a good time doing that. And the hotel room is nice. It's great. But I only used it because I happened to be up in Tampa going to a thing at USF and just decided to crash for the night rather than drive back home. So it's good, and I'm not knocking it. Hard Rock's been a great sponsor. They've been a great partner. The people we've met from there are cool people.
Maybe make that a tiered one. Like,
yeah,
you can do tiers, where if you're buying your midfield seats, those kind of things, like, I don't mean to, you know, it just in my head, you know, those are the one people that are probably more likely to go to the Hard Rock.
True. And maybe actually get them to come to the games too, as opposed to like the corporate tickets, getting seats over there and, you know, showing up here and there. But so mentioning the tier thing, it kind of brings to my mind, one thing about the Hard Rock stuff is, as far as I know, that was for everybody, whether you bought general admission mob seats or whether you bought sit behind the bench midfield seats, everybody was entitled to that. But that's not 100% clear to everybody, because if you look at some of the comments and some of the remarks,
most people didn't get it.
Yeah. And well, when I renewed my tickets, they were like, you're going to get this, this, and this. And then when I got my stuff in the mail, it was the lanyard and the tickets, and that was it. So I emailed the rep, and I was like, I just want to double check, because other people have gotten this stuff. I wanted to see, am I supposed to get this? And he was like, yeah. And then he put the blame on Hard Rock, saying that they hadn't printed up enough materials, which I don't know that I buy that, because what's so hard about, hey, we sold X amount of tickets, print up, and all it is just a card that has the information on it. You write your name on it. There's nothing complex about it. So I don't know that I 100% buy that. I was able to pick it up at the stadium on a game day, but, you know,
that's the other thing. You shouldn't have to follow up with your perks. Like,
yeah,
if you know what I mean? It's just, But I mean, back to the main point for this part is perks need to get better. And I've seen a lot of people, and people aren't even asking for much. Most of it was like, you know, a special season ticket scarf or jersey, or not right. and right. or.
Yeah. So let's do this, because I want to throw out there, I want us to like put our wish list out there, what we think would be a reasonable thing. Or list of things, and then we'll talk about some of the things the other people said. And also, whatever it is, it needs to be clearly communicated. Like, if you go to the season ticket page on the website, there's nothing there besides the prices. There's no information. Like, you might get some of that. It's almost like they're saving that for when you call up to use as, like, incentives. Like, it's, I don't know, it's almost like it's Fusillo Kia up there trying to hook you with a cruise and having a three-minute commercial about everything but the car. Like it's just kind of like a leverage trip. So what would you say is like, what would be your list? What would be the things you would like or want?
Like I am totally, on board with, like a season ticket scarf or even a jersey is a bit much to me. But a scarf, like easy way to identify like concession discounts or something like that. Just general things. Like I don't need much, cause I know we're not spending much, but a special season ticket holder scarf, and some concession discounts, and which includes beer. Let me point that out, because I know on the like Rowdy's app, it's like you get such and such, but does not include alcohol. You can give us like 5-10% off on beer. Like make beer a little cheaper. we'll buy plenty at that point. So that's really it. Like maybe the other common thread of maybe a special meet and greets here or there. I thought of something that personally I would like would be like one of those weird educational, like Stuart Campbell teaches you like his kind of his coaching style, like goes a little deep dive into his tactics and what he wants to like, how he wants to play.
Right.
And like maybe break down a game or something that's me being a complete and total nerd about it. But that's something that like should be, along those lines, like a meet and greet or an event, with players and or staff.
And you know, what's funny is a lot of the stuff that we're mentioning that you mentioned and other people have mentioned are stuff that has been done in the past. I remember I used to go over there, and I think it was when they first put the midfield seats in. I don't know if this was a just for a midfield ticket buyers, but there was always like a pregame session. Like Perry Vanderbeck would talk about tactics, would go over game film.
Yeah,
with people.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
And the like concession tent back there. Like that's a cool thing. Not very difficult to do, not time consuming. I don't think it adds a lot of expense, but to the people who took part in it, like that's a meaningful thing. For some of the people, that's a thing where if like to me and it sounds like to you, like if that's thrown in with your season ticket, then maybe the fact that sometimes people are getting better deals on some of these 3 and 4 game packages, not a huge deal. The ultimate goal, of course, is to get as many people in the stadium as possible. The season ticket holders by and large are starting to feel disrespected by the promotions and in some cases the people as well. And we'll talk about
that.
Well,
we'll get to the people in a minute. But I mean, the basic thing about retail and like trying to sell some people want to feel like A, they got a deal, or B, they got something for free. Right. So if as a season ticket holder, if you're sitting there and you've paid, let me scroll down here for a second. You paid for just say Ralph's Mob, the cheapest, non-military or student. You spent $244 on season tickets and you really didn't get any perks. And then you're watching people that are walking up and buying these 3 game packages or whatever, and they're getting cheaper, but you're here every game, whatever, singing your heart out. And you were allegedly the heart and soul of this team, from the supporter section, you were going to feel disrespected and slighted. But if you give them a scarf or something, that's something those people that might be spending a little less money didn't get. If I got a meet and greet with a player, with the players or a player and a coach, that's something they didn't have access to. It's just something like that. People want to feel like they got something exclusive when they're paying, a little bit more for for this. So please, like, that's all we're asking is give us something exclusive if we're spending season tickets. Now, if you want to jump to the terrible service now, because that's
Gonna, I'm going to go over my list too, and then I want to go through some of the stuff other people said. And the other thing, and this goes back to, you know, just basic communication being important. One of the complaints was that people were getting those like 3 and 4 game or buying like mid-season, you know, half season ticket packages in the middle of the year, and that they were getting the Hard Rock stuff when people who bought tickets at the beginning of the year who didn't. Well, if you bought tickets in the beginning of the year, you should have. And your rep should be responsible for making you aware of that and also making sure you got the materials. And that, just the miscommunication itself is causing a lot of issues. So that's not good. That's something that needs to be worked on. So going back to my list, and I want to see if I can scroll down enough. My mentions have gone kind of crazy the last few days. And see what it was, to make sure I get everything in there. But the first thing, and this is something I've kind of been asking about or asking for years, is some kind of, you know, open house, just, you know, annual meeting with the season ticket holders and, you know, someone from the front office, maybe someone from ownership, maybe Bill drops by and, you know, says a few words, someone from coaching to talk about, you know, what's going on in that side as far as the players you're looking to bring in or the players you're looking to retain, the style you're looking to play, that kind of information. Like, it's little stuff like that that goes kind of a long way to making people feel better or feeling more involved or, you know, having some kind of ownership stake to being more than just a customer, which is how I think a lot of people are starting to feel. And that's not great heading into the future. So that's kind of top of my list. The scarf, yeah, I think that's a great idea. I've been kind of disappointed in the last few years, the amount of scarves that have just the scarves have been available. Like, there used to be 2 or 3 different new ones every year that were cool. I always wanted to try and get one, but lately it's just kind of, I don't know, they haven't been that impressive, and they've been kind of few and far between. So put some effort, you know, maybe into that. But yeah, a season ticket holder scarf, I agree. I think a jersey is probably a little bit too much, especially when you're throwing some of this other stuff in here, like the Hard Rock stuff, which, like we said, isn't the most convenient things for us, but it's still a good value if you're able to use it. Some kind of like end of the year meet and greet function with the players. I mean, I know, and we're going to go to Rochester. They've tried a ton of stuff. That some of the things I thought were good ideas, they would have, and the Rowdies used to do this as well too. like a little post game after party, and you'd have some players show up. Like that first year that they played at Steinbrenner, there's a bar behind home plate in the stands, and players would come in there after the game. Talk to some of the people who had gotten into the bar and sign autographs and hang out. But some kind of, you know, post-game function or post-season, even if it's just the end of the year.
I would do post-season. I mean, it's a little unfair to ask these guys to devote that much time, especially like our current squad. You know, most of them are dads with young kids.
Right. I mean, you know, maybe you'd get 2 or 3 and they kind of go on a rotating basis if you did something like that. But I think a post-season one is good.
A postseason, like, let's keep, you know, that becomes, I think, kind of to be fair, the players do linger and sign autographs for as many people as possible after the game. And an end of the season event sounds like a better deal, in my opinion.
I think so. And if for no other reason, then, you know, there's always guys who are moving on, whether they're leaving the team, whether they're retiring, whether whatever. And these are the guys that the season ticket holders know. They know their names. They know their faces. They know information about them. Not in a creepy way, hopefully. But a chance to say, hey, thanks for the season. Good luck. Goodbye. Whatever. Or, you know, see you next year for the guys you know are coming back. Like one chance to do that, at least, I think is kind of it would make people feel good about some of these things. I personally, and this is just me, I personally don't really care about like food or drink discounts. Like I got up to the level in the app where you could get, you know, it was like $4 or $5 off of 20. I hardly ever buy any food or drinks at the stadium. I like bringing my own food to the tailgate, bringing my own beer, hanging out. And once the game starts, I'm kind of more focused on that. Like I might get a drink or something at halftime. But to me, that's more of what I do before the game. So I know there are people who care. I don't. That's not a big one for me.
Oh, I think it's a way to drive a season. You can get season ticket holders, and you also can increase sales at your concessions. It's actually more of a win for the team, in my opinion.
Right, you'd sell more in the end that it would it'd make it worthwhile. I could see that.
You know, I know I go up at the Mob and plenty of people are buying beer and stuff and food.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
So I think, you know, a season ticket, and that's probably where most of your season ticket holders are. So, you know, like, they're the ones that are going to spend the money week in and week out. I think they deserve a little break there.
Yeah, and the last one, and again, this is something that was done before. They just did away with it this year, and I thought it was not the best idea. But bringing back the ticket exchange program. If you have a ticket for a game you didn't make it to or whatever, you can use that towards a game in the future.
I was going to put that under the service like thing. Like, I mean, yeah, it's a because I don't consider that a benefit per se, but I believe that's like part of the service. Like, I think you should be able to do that.
See, I would do it. I almost, to me, it's almost a benefit because, like, if you know there's a game you're not going to go to, then maybe you can give your ticket to a friend and bring them to a different game. So, you know, it's kind of, and it works out. And one of the guys, talking to one of the San Antonio guys, with their season tickets, they get six passes every year that are good for any game. It's probably just like a general admission pass. But that way, there's six games during the year they can choose and bring a friend or bring six friends to one game with you or something, however it works out. Like, something like that, you know, your big fan base, your season ticket base, those are some of your best advertisements. So if you give us the opportunity, you know, we might bring people in who will maybe potentially become season ticket holders. Like, you know, let us help you out a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, the other, like, yeah, definitely. I mean, the ticket exchange was a big thing I saw passing through the comments as well. Because you're right, like, sometimes I can't, you know, you can't go, and you shouldn't have to waste a ticket. Like, it's, yes, I agree. Season ticket exchange. And another note is just, this is going to sound a little weird, but like, if you look around if you look around Twitter for, around season ticket arrival time, I think even Jacksonville, it always arrives in a neat little package, right? Like, presentation.
Yeah.
We've gotten it either at the, in a like yellow envelope at the kickoff party, or I believe you got them in yellow envelopes mailed to your house.
Yeah.
Put a little effort in.
I got excited about this last year because our good friend, I'm going to start calling him Portland Pete now. he had posted his pictures online, and it was this whole like little gift box thing. And I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. They're putting a little something fancy into it." I forget who I talked to, who I asked. They were like, "Yeah, those were some things left over." There was like, you know, it was almost like it was a packaging for like a gift card for like Christmas or something. And they had some extras, so they threw those into some of them, but not all of them.
Right. Like, and that's the other thing. So why you know, like, I love Pete, but like, random, your friend gets one and then you don't, like. Is there? It's just weird. Like,
yeah, like he posted a little presentation online, and yeah, I'm, you know, a little bit of a nerd for stuff like that. But it shows that there's some effort, some thought put into it. And I was like, oh, cool. And that had me checking my mailbox like every day because I was like, hey, if he got his, I might be getting mine, and it, maybe it'll be coming in the. No, it's in a little like envelope again. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and it's something small, but it's something like, hey, this team cares, and you know, like, I'll get into this more, but. It just, there's so much that feels like the ticket office couldn't care less about us. But if you, now let's start reading, before we get there, let's start reading some other suggestions.
All right. You want to do it or you want to start? Like,
you can. I don't even have them up.
Let me see. Well, and one thing, and again, they used to do this, and I used to kind of, you know, nag about this for a little while. You got sick of me talking about it almost as much as poutine. But having like a fan fest kind of event, one of the comments from Andy Dore, who I know him, he's a Sarasota guy, marking the seats where you got to like come in and now, you know, it's easy. You can do it online through the Ticketmaster site or whatever. But being able to come in, check out your seat, you know, maybe there's some kind of little mark on it that has your name or something for the season. that could be a thing you could do. I can see that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. You know, like if you you've kept them for a couple of years, get one of those little name plaques like the Rays and stuff do for season ticket owners. That wouldn't harm anything.
Yeah, that's not a bad little idea. Like you could have, you know, after like 3 years, it's bronze, and you know, 5 years, it's silver, something. I don't know. You can like work your way up. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
A little way to recognize people who have been buying tickets for so long. Let's see. Any other specific ideas? Drink food specials, season ticket holder only events. Yep. I think pretty much everything else that was on Facebook, I think we've kind of covered them all.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's see. Reward points, memorabilia, events, player meet and greets.
I think we should point out that Paul Forrester did definitely say he enjoys the Hard Rock ones. So this isn't just a complete bash fest. He enjoyed it. Dining gift cards are especially awesome. So let's just put that out there that this isn't a complete roast session, that there are some people that are happy.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, even if I didn't, and I did manage to use them all before the deadline on them ran out, the value of those, usually if you put those together, the value, you know, exceeds, if you did go there frequently, the value of those goodies generally exceed the value of your season tickets, because it was $100 for any of the restaurants, $25 in the Hard Rock stores. I got my daughter a little sweatshirt. She was happy about that. And then the room, which, man, the rooms are beautiful. And this, I had, it's like a single bedroom. Even if you're having to do it sometime during the week, like, find a way to do it, because the rooms are very nice. The room, I think, goes for like $250 a night on weeknights to begin with. So value-wise, it's a good throw-in. No soccer pun intended there. But if it's not something that you're, likely to use, I mean, I wouldn't have gone there without those. I wouldn't have gone to the buffet and dropped $100 without that. I wouldn't have gone and stayed in the room. I wouldn't have used a Hard Rock Pass. So to me, it was worth it in the end, but I did have to kind of go out of my way to do it, and I did. But some people aren't necessarily going to do it. Some people are going to go no matter what. So, I think it's a good thing that they have something thrown in from their kind of main sponsor, which is Hard Rock. But I think that there's more that could be done for, everybody else as well too. That's not necessarily like, here's $25 for this, here's $50 for that. But simple stuff like, meet and greets, and there is the preseason party, which they always kind of make a big deal about how season ticket holders get in. The first hour before.
Yeah, that's BS.
But yeah, because no one knows. You can just walk in and say you're a season ticket holder. There's not like a way of checking it.
Right, because you don't even have your season tickets yet.
Exactly.
It's BS, and that's why we need something more.
Yeah, I like the event. I want them to keep doing it. It's apparently going to be March 10th at the Mahaffey this year or next year. I don't know.
So. Back to the story I was telling is, again, I didn't get a phone call, which brings us to the, and now this is important for two reasons. One, it how do you not call a loyal season ticket holder? Especially, and this is the thing that's going to, especially when you have preached that season ticket sales are the most important thing after you made your pitch to MLS for MLS to St. Pete, and you don't call one of your loyal season ticket holders. Who's running the show down there?
Well, we know the answer to that one.
And this is where we get into the service stuff. And before we start going full on guns a blazing there, we talked about this too, where I think it was the playoff game, the Cincinnati one, the first one. My friend wanted to buy a ticket. She has bought multiple through the year, and they had all her information. And it took her, I would say, about 7 minutes to finally get 7 to 10 minutes to buy one ticket. The person couldn't find her account or something, so they had to transfer her, and then she gave her name again, and then blah blah, and then finally somebody was able to find it and run her credit card. But it shouldn't be that difficult, right? Like, I don't know. Like, it just seems that the ticket office itself is, and I'm not talking about the individual reps. I'm sure, I think this is from somebody who works in retail and sales and whatnot. It starts from the top, right? Like, you know, if you're not given the tools, then you might not be able to do what you need, or any other number of factors. The constant turnover, I think, everybody has said they've had like three reps this year, pretty much. Names are constantly changing.
I can add destroy that. But real quick, it's almost like someone's listening to it. San Antonio just posted a picture or a couple of set of pictures. Thanks to everyone who joined us tonight for Toyota Play with the Pros. And it's these are quite obviously fans. These are not necessarily like rec league players or anything. You can tell by the physical conditions. But there's kids. There's my assumption is these are season ticket holders that came out and they got to go out on the field and, you know, kick it around, play with some of the San Antonio players. There's a picture here. They're in the locker room getting like a talk from the coach before they go out. Like, that's a simple thing to do that doesn't cost them any money.
Right. I mean, and those fans probably absolutely love it.
Yeah. It sounds like, just from some of the things I'm hearing and seeing, like maybe we need to spend some time with the San Antonio guys and see what they're doing. There's something I really want
to talk to.
There's something I really want to bring up. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it though.
Go ahead.
Well, no, we'll see. I might throw it in at the end.
Oh, okay.
I got to decide. We've talked about it before. You'll remember when I start talking about it. But, all right. So you were saying.
It's just the service, like, right? Like, top to bottom, the service isn't there. I mean, I don't want to read all of this, but Andy Marriman on the Facebook, on the comment thread, if you go to that is, he canceled his season tickets for next year. I love the team, love the players, but this organization needs some work because of the director of ticket sales, his interaction with the director of ticket sales, and it went very poorly. And then the comment thread goes on about a lot of people have had the same experience.
Right.
But I know what you mean about him. I am an over the game. I'm pushing season tickets. He seems to take the ABC through to the level, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so it's just there is a litany of issues here. And that's from the director of ticket sales, right? Like if that's how you're treating your dedicated, Andy's been here as long as I can remember.
Right.
Great guy.
Well, and did you see who's the first person to reply to that?
Jesse looks like
the new president of Ralph's Mob.
Yeah.
That's a serious issue.
Yeah. And Jesse says his lack of caring for the season ticket holders versus, if you aren't renewing or doing as they demand, they could care less. And that's your president of their mob, of your supporters group, pretty much saying the ticket office doesn't care about you unless they're taking your money.
Yep.
Let me go on. Okay, so this is where I come from on this. I bought a ticket, I think I bought one or two tickets for a Rowdies game in 2014. And I was at work. I just pull up to a house to do a service call because that's what I do. And my cell phone rings, a number I don't recognize, but I answered anyway. And it's Brittany, who used to work in the ticket office.
Oh yeah, wasn't she the first official ticket rep of the pod?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because so this is what happens. So she calls me, and she's like, "Hey, I'm renumbering from the Rowdies." Blah 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 blah. And she's like, "Are you interested in like a half season tickets or whatever?" And it's this much and this and that and then I was like, at first I was going to be like, no, you know, I'm probably not really going to go that often, blah, blah, blah. But she just, you know, she wasn't like persistent or like pushy. And then she started talking like, you know, asking me like, or we started talking about like where people, like I played when I, like what position I played when I was growing up and this. And it was just, it was engaging. It was professional. And it turned me around. I was like, yeah, you know what? If this is how this organization is, I'm going to buy season tickets. And then what? Unfortunately, she ended up moving on and is doing great things with her life, I believe. And then I forgot who we got after that, but it was somebody equally as, I think it was Alex.
Yeah.
Equally as engaged, equally as caring and professional. And it was that way up until Chris left. And then I never heard from anybody. I don't know if people talk about it here, but I don't believe anybody even really hears anything from their ticket rep through the year. I remember getting several calls to make sure everything was going right.
I get some emails now and then. To be
but
honest,
that's so unprofessional.
I've never met my current ticket rep. The ticket rep I had before when I bought tickets for this season was Tyler. By the time the season started and I sat in my seat for the first game of the season, Tyler was in the seat next to me because he was no longer a ticket rep. Like, that's right, how it's going. And it's and kind of going back to what you're saying, I first bought season tickets for this team because of a ticket rep. Not one who called me up out of the blue, although Brittany did. Actually, she sent me an email. I think she sent me a DM. She saw something in my profile and was like, oh, this is a person that might be interested. And we started having the whole conversation. And I had season tickets before then, but she kept it up. And I actually switched my account over to her because the person I had then had left or something. But back when they were at Steinbrenner, I had a friend of mine in St. Pete said, "Hey, I'm, you know, the Rowdies are back and they're playing up in St. or up in Tampa." And this was, you know, the year of the World Cup. I'm trying to remember where it was, but the one where Donovan scores a goal against Algeria. So we would go to games, you know, go to the bar and watch games, and then we went up and went to Rowdies games. And I had done a Groupon, I think, two or three times to go up there, and I was like, "Oh, you know, I'll give it a try, see, you know." And Steinbrenner is kind of a haul. It's you know, over an hour depending on traffic from where I live to get up there. But I had fun and we kept going to games. And then this is what, like 6-7 years ago. My daughter's, you know, 2 or 3 years old. One of these nights, me and my wife are going to go. It's like one of our first times getting out of the house in a while. We had a babysitter all lined up, and that's, you know, a cost you've got to factor in for people too. Made the drive up there, and it poured. And it was pouring and pouring and pouring to the point where they were delaying the start of the game. And it got to the point where I'm like, we can't, you know, continue to wait and keep paying the babysitter. You know, we've got to leave. Like, you know, what's the deal? And the guy was like, "Don't worry. Email me here." He gave me a card. He goes, "Here's my, you know, email. Just email me when you get home, and I'll take care of you." And that was Jeremy, who has been gone for a while now. He's, I think he's out in Phoenix. I know he was working at Arizona State for a while. But he took care of me that year. And that's, I mean, I enjoyed going to the games, but I bought season tickets because of the treatment I got from him. So it's really kind of bugs me that the kind of level of the service, and, you know, part of it maybe because the team has grown somewhere. I mean, the ticket reps used to be like, you knew all of them by name. Like, you know, they would all go hang out at the same bar or something after the game in St. Pete. We'd meet up with them, have a couple beers. And even now there was a crew that would come out to the parking lot and hang out with the fans in the parking lot after the game. And you know, part of it is their job, but part of it is like, these are the people you get to know. And there's still some of those guys left. I'm not saying that everyone is horrible. I know, you know, Joe got some shade online the other day for posting something. I give Joe a lot of credit because Joe handles the account for Derek, who owns a Shamrock. And he's come down there from, I want to say he's in like Tampa or even Port Richey, maybe comes down there, and just hung out with us for an away game watch party. And I was like, "Oh, the team's getting serious." He's like, "No, I just decided to do it." Like, it wasn't, you know, someone saying go down there, and hang out. But I mean, this is an area where we don't get a lot of, people from the team coming down here, even though there's a lot of fans from here that come up there. And he was, you know, took the step to do that on his own and come out. The only other person I can remember coming down here, Chris, when Chris was working for him, Chris came down here once for a youth league thing, and ran like a little promo tent at the youth league games for that day. So, you know, there's been some attempts, I guess, to work the area, but they're few and far between, which has always seemed weird because Neil Collins lives down here. Pickens lived down here for a little while, just moved up to St. Pete. But, I mean, they have a presence in the area, and it's not being used at all.
No, and, you know, they have, what, $5 is the watch party location, the right. Official Rowdies one, right? And Thirsty First was the mob's, outpost. Remember when they used to sell, like when Chris used to be in the parking lot selling tickets and whatever with the mob, or Alex would sit at McDinton's to sell tickets with the mob?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that?
No interest in doing it anymore. They just want you. And this goes back to, and I think, because this is the same group that works the Mahaffey, right? Is that
correct? Yeah, I believe so.
The same department, at least part of whatever the Edwards group. To me, it's they're using the same mentality at the Mahaffey, where they just book people, you know, per acts that people want to come see, and you just kind of sit back and wait for you to buy tickets. There's not a whole lot of having to go out in the community to promote it.
You don't really even necessarily need to go out in the community. Focus on the people that are here. Like, really, like, you're losing. We're not even at the point where we're growing. It feels like we are actually now starting to lose actual season ticket holders and fans.
Well, and
because
just,
of the ticket office.
Just looking on the Facebook, and now, you know, there's still fans, but Andy says he canceled his tickets. George, I don't know, but doesn't sound great. Greg, Tyler, there's some, you know, these are some names that have been around for a while, and if these guys are starting to get fed up with it, you can bet the casual fans are not getting excited, or, you know, could be getting turned off by this. It's this kind of a serious thing. You know, this is, what, the sixth straight year we've had an increase in attendance, but it was only up by, what, like
0.3% or something like that?
Well, it was like a minuscule jump. I thought it was like 1 point, whatever. Pendleton would know. The momentum, and, you know, they're going to look at it and blame the change in the league, some of the weather that went on.
It should have been one of your larger increases, because you did an MLS to St. Pete push.
Exactly.
But you fumbled the punt on the ticket sales. Like, you should have been able to cash in on that excitement by calling your existing season ticket holders.
And despite all this, they still managed to grow attendance by a small amount. Just imagine what it could have been if they had done things differently.
Right. And this team has that potential. I'm trying to see if I can find Pendleton's graphics, but he tweets more than we do. Here we go. Find week 32. Where are we? We're eight. Yeah, 0.3%. 0.3%.
Over last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been more. Really feels like there's opportunities being missed here.
Especially now you have people saying they aren't going to be showing up.
Yeah. And, you know, our thing has always kind of been, like, we could, and this is the kind of last comment, I don't know in chronological order if this is really the last comment, but Matt McGee makes a statement. Let me go back here. I want to get it word for word right. I missed it here again. Oh, here we go. Keep supporting. Just use the cheapest method into the stadium.
Yeah.
Which is what people are going to start doing. And, you know, we have the option available to us. I don't know if we still will after tonight. But they have given us passes, you know, press media passes. We could go into the games for free all the time. But our whole, you know, kind of gimmick is that we're fans and we're talking about this from a fan perspective. So to kind of maintain that little, you know, that little bit of independence that we can, we've always bought season tickets or bought tickets to games.
What I did last year was I bought one pack of season tickets, and I would try to take people to as many games as possible, whether it was Daisha who wanted to go or a friend or family. I would use that ticket to bring somebody who hasn't experienced it yet, or Daisha who enjoys it. Mm-hmm. So they could get a taste, and maybe they can come on, they would, you know, come again on their own or without me, and try to grow the game that way. But I never got a phone call back. Well, I never got a phone call initially.
Yeah, and I've always used mine for myself. Scan it to help the numbers out because, you know, it's just part of, you know, being a fan. But, like, sometimes I would bring my daughter. She'd use the ticket, and I would use the press pass and get in. But, you know, that's – I don't know. You know, we wondered how much time we were going to be able to fill with this, and look, it's 9 o'clock all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could have gone longer, but I feel like we covered everything. Just do better.
I think so. You know, the fans want to buy tickets. There's a market out here that wants to buy the tickets and will buy the tickets if you interact with them. But the way some of the interactions are going, it's changing that. And, you know, let's be honest, a season ticket buyer is a potential audience for us, so we're kind of invested in this too. but this is the time now. They've got to get back on track. So, all right, I will close with a thing that I wasn't sure if I was going to say, but, you know, might as well. We've already said enough tonight, I think. Back in the old NASL days, we had access to a certain website. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could go on there, you could find video highlights, you could find graphics for team logos, you could find pictures from events. You could get this kind of, like, media access kind of stuff that was useful when we would do, you know, match reports, when we would do previews, reviews, all that kinds of stuff. Throw stuff in the tweets, use stuff to, like, you know, we'd go rewatch games to get ready for shows because they would have, you know, video clips of it and on there. You remember what I'm going to talk about now?
I don't think so.
We talked about this before. So there was one year, I want to say it was right after Jacksonville's first year in the league. They kind of had an off-season meeting with all the clubs, and they, you know, were talking about all the business aspects. Every now and then I would go on the site and just try and see, you know, is there anything new out there? Can I try and figure out, can I get any scoops about what might be happening? Did someone leave something there? There was a PowerPoint that had been left there from this meeting. And it was different clubs talking about, you know, what they had done, what had worked for them, kind of sharing best practices, which is a good thing to do. Like, there was a time where NASL was doing some pretty logical things business-wise. Several owners had volunteered to present, you know, what they had done this year, what they were going to do next year, what they might change, what they might do the same. One was Jacksonville's guys, and he's got this list. He's like, we tried this app. We worked with this, partner to push information. Next year, we're looking at, you know, trying this program, expanding our, season ticket incentives, whatever. He ran through a whole list. Like, you know, it didn't end up working out for him in being in charge of Jacksonville or even running the board of directors for NASL, but the guy had a ton of ideas at least. Then the Rowdies were mentioned, and this is something that they volunteered for. And Bill was the guy who presented the information, and he was like, everything was great. We're not going to make any changes next year, which it had been a year where attendance had been up. Yeah, that's true. But I don't think in this business or any business you can survive by saying everything worked fine, we're not going to make any changes. And if that's your actual opinion, why are you volunteering to share that at a kind of best practices thing? Like, that always confused me, and we never really talked about it. We mentioned it a couple times off air.
The difference is he had good people. He had intelligent people running that ticket office. And so you don't, to be honest, he didn't have to do anything except try to retain those people. And this is the thing where if you have good people, the product in a way sells itself, right? Like if you had that 2014 ticket office with the product the Rowdies put on the field and the stadium experience that the Rowdies have this year, I think you would have seen better ticket sales and a packed house almost every week that it wasn't raining. I just think that you lost the good people in the ticket office while your product has gotten better, which is the better product is the only thing buoying the nearly toxic sales office.
And one thing you mentioned, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this. I think a major issue, and now I know some of these people, I don't know all of them, but I know there are some, but I think a major problem could be that you don't have necessarily a lot of people who are passionate about the game and then therefore by extension the team. Like you mentioned Brittany calling you up and talking about the game like they used to. And a lot of these guys that were in there, Brittany, Jeremy, Jared, these were all people who I know they went to I think University of Tampa, which has a sports management kind of a MBA program. And I think they started working for the team as interns and would get full-time positions from there. Like, you had a crew that was, they were already friends. They were already involved and interested and knowledgeable about the game, which got them hooked into the club because that was their local outlet for it. And, like, I don't know. I've not been in the ticket office. I don't know all the people. So there's definitely some areas of concern. I don't know that it was almost like a real family feel before. And you knew these people and they took care of you. And now you're talking about people who have 3 ticket reps in a year. Patrick was like, I didn't know there were incentives for season tickets. It's not publicized. The information's not out there. The turnover is a major issue because no one gets used to anybody before they're gone. Like I said, this guy I have right now, and I will give him credit. Guy's called me 2-3 times already. Always manages to call my cell phone during school, which is bad for 2 reasons. Number one, I can't talk during class. My phone's on silent. I don't even know that it rings because I've got to focus on the 25 to 30 something kids that are packed in my classroom at that point in time. I plan on renewing my tickets, but there needs to be some changes. There needs to be some improvement. You should always be looking to improve what you're doing, and figure out ways. And I'm going to put on my teacher hat for a minute and go back into that mode. You should always be looking for a way to work smarter, not harder, but they definitely need to work harder as well because they've got some ground to make up.
It's just customer service. Cause you're also, your tickets are obviously probably the cheapest season tickets around, and they're creeping up towards decent levels. But I mean, they're obviously cheaper than the Bucks. The Lightning have 41 home games, so they're going to be cheaper than that.
Right.
The Rays, nobody buys season tickets for. So it's just like the product kind of sells itself, right? Like it's a semi-cheap Saturday night with a good product on the field. So with most businesses in this century, you have to be it's got to be service based, right? So if the people I'm interacting are these people that don't seem to care about me and only want my money, it becomes a transaction and nobody feels good about that.
Right.
The ticket office, there needs to be a long, hard look in the mirror and how it's run and the people running it. And if it needs to be blown up and started over with new people, I'm all for that because honestly, it seems to be crumbling under its own weight. Dead weight.
Yeah. One more thing, and I feel bad that I feel like I have to put this out there, but I'm kind of worried what might happen if we don't. I just want to say everything we've talked about tonight is stuff we've heard from fans. We don't have anybody in the ticket office who is texting us or sending us messages or giving us inside info. This is all from our personal experiences and from what we put out there the other day on Facebook and Twitter.
Like I said, we've been kicking around for a while about wanting to talk because we hear the rumblings constantly.
We know there's been some eyes on the topic from inside Al Lang.
Well, just from seeing the people that have recently liked the podcast page.
Exactly. So hopefully they recognize that it's an issue. But I hope that it doesn't turn around tomorrow. They start looking for who's sending us information. There isn't anybody. And I'm deadly serious.
What information have we given that would be a worry? What are you even talking about now? Like, we've literally read from our Facebook page and given personal experiences.
But, some people, instead of facing reality, start looking for someone to shovel the blame off of. It's kind of culture
here,
in this
at me, at UnsubDan on Twitter, if you want to come at anybody. I'm ready for I've been spoiling for a fight anyway. Let's do it.
You just want someone to call you.
No, I didn't even say, no, don't call me. I want to answer. No, but I mean, just come at me. Like, really, this is our experiences and the experience of our fellow fans that we've, like you said, we've talked through, we've heard about it pre-game. We hear about it, via Twitter and Facebook constantly. Just check other threads even before we started talking about it. It's a hot button issue amongst fans. Like, the people just... The service and the lack of perks is starting to erode away some hardcore support, and that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So we're 10 minutes over. If you want to continue the conversation, just hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, and let's try to continue this conversation. It's not a fight like that's over tonight, and I say fight because we need to see some kind of change and. Maybe we can do something, maybe like we can talk to somebody. I don't know. We don't know the next step, but we'll figure one out.
No. And, we're doing this because we give a damn. We're not doing this because we want to sit here and bash the club. And you know, I know there are ticket reps who are working their asses off down there and are trying to do a good job. And, you know, I don't want people who shouldn't feel attacked to feel attacked. And I don't want people to feel like we're just bashing them because there's nothing else to talk about. It's an issue that we think is a problem and could become worse if it's not dealt with.
That's why I tried to leave out names and anything personal, but yeah. You know, but I think the ticket office as a whole needs to reevaluate what's going on.
Right. So, you know, let us help. Ask us, you know, if nothing else, then to give you some of this information, some of the stuff we've heard. You know, I don't know what possible good we can do in any situation, and that just kind of refers all aspects of my life. But if there's something that, you know, we're willing to be part of this as well, too. So, anyway, let's leave it there. Drogba's retiring. Memphis is coming to USL. A couple other things we forgot about. Whatever. We will talk to you guys not next week. We're going to take next week off for Thanksgiving. I need to let Radio St. Pete know that. And I think we're going to go to a little bit of a modified schedule, barring...
We'll figure that out. But happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's my favorite holiday. Let's get fat.
I don't want to say that I hate it, but it's my least favorite holiday.
My favorite holiday by far.
Like, the only good thing about Thanksgiving, in my opinion, are leftovers.
No, see, the way it works for me, like, it's like Christmas, but without all the, like, pressure of having to buy everybody gifts. You get your family together, you get to eat some delicious food, and there's no pressure for gifts, and it's a great time.
See, I like Christmas a little much better. Maybe it's because I have a 9-year-old kid, too. I don't know.
Maybe it's because I'm Jewish that I don't care. That I don't like Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. I celebrate killer. Christmas.
Yeah, you also eat bacon, so I don't want to hear that excuse.
Yeah, I do.
All right, guys, we will just keep an eye on us on Twitter and Facebook for when the next show is going to be. Not next week, probably the week after. We'll see. We'll talk to you guys next time. Have a good Thanksgiving or whatever it is that you celebrate. Even if it's just you just like Thursdays. We'll talk to you guys soon.
I can never get the hang of Thursdays. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later.
Wait. Where'd you get that from?
Anyway, let's sign out here. Goodbye.
Oh, we're going to have a talk about this. All right, we'll talk to you guys next time. Oh, Daniel, I can't believe you. This has been the Unused Substitutes on Radio St. Pete, and I will mention the Beautiful Game Network before the show ends for once. We'll talk to you guys soon. See ya.
Bye.